Temna zvezda. Oddaja o filmu in skritih straneh filmskega vesolja. Vsak prvi in tretji ponedeljek v mesecu ob 8:30 zvečer.
Drage poslušalke, dragi poslušalci Radija Študent, prav lepo pozdravljeni v današnji Temni zvezdi. Tokratno emisijo bo zaznamoval centralni označevalec, ki sliši na ime Human Terrain. Dokumentarec si je bilo moč ogledati 26. oktobra v Kinodvoru. Več o njem pa boste slišali v nadaljevanju oddaje. Zatem se bomo, kot ponavadi, poigrali še z novičkami filmske provenience. Obenem pa je unikatnost današnje oddaje tudi v tem, da za podlago mojim besedam skrbi Jelena na harmonijo. To je pravzaprav inštrument, ki je sestavljen iz klavirskih tipk, za neskončno dolžino tonov pa skrbi ugrajen ventilator. Ko se ameriška diplomacija še sprašuje, zakaj za vraga jih iraško ljudstvo sovraži, je to zaradi tega, ker so bogati, ali kaj točno je vzrok vsemu temu gnevu in uporu proti njihovemu pohodu demokracije, ameriška vojska najde novo strategijo v boju proti temu, lahko bi rekli kar znotraj demokratičnemu sovražniku. S pomočjo kulturne ozaveščenosti naj bi ameriški vojaki omehčali srca in telesa upornih Iračanov, torej vse, kar je prav lepo zajeto v slavni krilatici akterjev te zgodbe. To pa je Winning Hearts and Minds of Iraqi and Afghan People. Problem se pojavi, ko v službo vojske upokličajo akademsko elito, ki s pomočjo teoretskih metod, predvsem antropoloških in socialnih študij, vojaškemu aparatu Združenih držav pomaga pri zavzemanju ozemlja in ljudstva, pa čeprav vse to zgolj pod krinko terenskega raziskovanja. Nadaljevanje znane doktrine White Burden, to je belega bremena, s pomočjo katerega je sprva evropski kolonialistični živelj ljudstvom primitivnejših oblik življenja, pa so to res primitivnejše, se vprašamo, usiljeval lastno orodje in tehnologije, predvsem pa zgolj sebi lastne vrednote in moralne sodbe. O problemu, ki smo ga izpostavili na začetku, govori film Human Terrain. Kaj pravzaprav to pomeni, pa bo povedal James Derderian z Univerze Brown, kateremu kasneje, zaradi poraznega odgovarjanja na vprašanja publike, ne bomo preveč prizanašali.
So I should say just briefly, Human Terrain was an effort by the US military to basically correct the terrible mess they created in Iraq. Afghanistan, and the idea was shifting war from being high-tech, where the center of gravity was a piece of ground, turf, to now the target was the human population, the human terrain. So they were going to hire a bunch of American academics to help them win the war. That was the beginning of the film. The film ended up being something very, very different for reasons you'll soon see. But when ultimately when I'm asked what the film is about, I want to always leave it to the audience. I want you to tell me what the film is about. We'll have a question and answer period afterwards. Today, over dinner with my good friend, Slovenian friend, Dragan Mihaljevic, he asked me, what's the film about? I said, it's Avatar, without the blue people, and $299 million, $0.999 in budget. And then he said, I've never seen that. So let me just say, it's a film about war being the worst solution for the problems we face. And when it becomes the first solution, rather than the last option, then you lose not only control over events, but you can lose friends.
Na vprašanje, kako bo film dojemala ameriška vojska, pa Der Derjan odgovarja takole.
James.
Yes.
What do you expect to be the impact of the film on the US military?
Well, what's the impact? You know, I'd love to say world peace will break out once they watch this film, you know, in positions of power. You know, you start off, as I said, wanting to make one film, and we wanted to have an impact on the debate about whether or not the US believes that you can solve intractable political problems with military force. And the answer to that is, I hope, obvious no. But then when Michael was killed, it also became an issue, what's our responsibility? Meaning individuals as first citizens, second as colleagues of, you know, Michael Batia's, the third as academics who, at an institute like I am, the Watson Institute, you, where Zlatko visited, and he knows that you have an obligation, it's part of my job description, to try to have an impact with your ideas on, you know, policy issues, social issues, public engagement. So in all those different levels, we wanted to have some impact. How do you measure it? Well, it's weird. I got phone calls when we're making the film, the word went out, and some people who have been involved in Human Terrain wanted to get this film out to set the record straight. This Human Terrain that we got is not the Human Terrain that was intended. It got hijacked by Stephen Fondacaro and the government of Fig. Now been forced out, they're gone. Then we got phone calls from the RAND Corporation. You know the RAND Corporation, the group that's sort of somewhere between government and defense, part of the military industrial complex. They wanted a copy because they were tasked by the Congress to do an assessment whether Human Terrain should be renewed. So we're gonna go down and show the film in Washington. As far as I know, Obama has not asked for a copy.
Če je torej akademska elita upoklicana kot zobnik vojaškega sistema, kakšna je njihova odgovornost? Je njihova odgovornost stati na strani zavojevalne politike Združenih držav Amerike ali je na njih prav breme kljubovanja kakršnemu koli vstopu v nekaj, kar ne bi smelo obstajati niti kot opcija za reševanje konfliktov? Sploh pa ne geostrateških, za katerimi se skriva želja po nadzoru in podreditvi. Kaj pa je na to rekel James Der Derjan, pa lahko slišimo sedaj. Obenem pa lahko ob koncu posnetka prav lepo slišimo njegovo izmikanje vprašanjem, ki jih je postavil gledalec, katerega glas je zelo podoben filozofu, ki nosi ime ptiča v tujem jeziku. Pa vendar to ni on.
The case of, you know, what's the responsibility of academics, I hope it was conveyed in the film, that there's a split. When I show this film to anthropologists, they believe it's too pro-military, that it should be part of it and more of a critique. When I show it to the military, they see it as being too anti-military. When I show it to Slovenia, it's seen to be too much of an apology for American foreign policy. I'm, of course, now sort of stereotyping you, as you just stereotyped somewhat me. But that's what we want. We want the dialogue. We want, you know, I don't do Michael Moore type films. I don't have.
Excuse me, dialogue about what?
Well, it's a dialogue about
the situation in Afghanistan or what?
It's a dialogue about whether, not so much about whether the war is right or wrong, which I think you want me to say. I believe this war was misbegotten, wrong, and if Mike had asked my opinion before he went, I would have said that, and I would have done go. He never did ask my opinion on that. And I came out very early on opposed to the Iraq War and suffered a lot of, you know, criticism from my colleagues for that. So I don't feel like I need to put that into the film. That's part of my other part of my life and my job. My job is to show a film that doesn't just convince you with your preconceptions that you had when you came into this theater. It's to make you question, perhaps, how firm those beliefs are. And I want to reach also the people who are sort of indecisive. They're not quite sure if they do agree that academics should be helping out or disagree. But I'm curious as to other opinions. Do you think, let's just have a show of hands. Let's just
please answer to my question.
Dokumentarec Human Terrain se je pred gledalčevo oko postavil kot izredno zanimiv in zelo poučen film, obenem pa precej neutralen, kar ga izvrže nekam v polje dokumentarcev, ki niso murovskega tipa, niti nimajo angažiranosti za kljubovanje vojni, ki se skriva za floskulami osvobajanja ljudstev in tako naprej. Razlog, ki ga ponudi Derderian, se zdi privlečen za lase in če ne drugega, smešen, saj se ne sprašuje po vzrokih, temveč želi zgolj površinsko celiti rane, ki so nastale zaradi agresivne ameriške zunanje politike.
We really didn't want to take away from the dignity of the military. We're given an impossible task. I mean, you have 90, what, Slovenians are part of NATO in Afghanistan right now. And it's the toughest imaginable job. And so I didn't want to, you know, attack the dignity of the soldiers and the Marines that are being asked to do this, but I was willing to, and I think it's important, to question the civilians, as Hugh Gustafson does, and that's why we have a lot of Hugh Gustafson in this film, who never having experienced war, were so quick to make war the sort of first solution as opposed to the last option to the issue of global terror, the issue of, you know, radical Islam, the issue of Al-Qaeda.
Obrambna strategija človeka je včasih tudi poistovetenje z nacionalno nadstrukturo. Nemalokrat slišimo, da so naši zmagali na nogometni tekmi in da so naši zopet prevzeli prvo mesto v balinanju, obenem pa si nobeden izmed tako govorečih ne postavi vprašanja, kdo pravzaprav smo ti mi. Kolikokrat je tako govoreči že dal gol na reprezentančni tekmi, da lahko govorimo, da je zmagal, in kolikokrat je balinal druge in drugače, kot to počne na svojem dvorišču. Na podoben način se je proti koncu pogovora tudi Derderian začel identificirati z ameriško nacijo in njihovimi idejami razrušenja tiranij in vzpostavljanja demokracij križem sveta. Mi smo to, mi smo ono. Za večjo jasnost pa še pojasnilo, kdo je Michael Batia. To je eden izmed akademikov, sicer doktor socialnih študij, ki je 2 leti nazaj v Iraku umrl zaradi bombne eksplozije in sprožil val nasprotovan projektu Human Terrain.
The United States is going to stay, and NGOs will stay, and NATO will stay, or whether or not because we went in as occupiers as opposed to reconstructionists. We went in basically to destroy Al-Qaeda, and then we basically created a footprint of occupation, as opposed to being identified with NGOs and others whose primary goal was not stability, was not security, but was to do this reconstruction. Michael put on a uniform. He was doing reconstruction, but he was identified with the military. So how do you keep this line when you're in a very dangerous situation where, you know, NGOs right now are saying, we're not going to carry on in Afghanistan if we can't have protection. As you might know, the president of Afghanistan just announced that all private contracts are supposed to be out by December, the private contractors that provide much of the security of NGOs. So what comes first, you know, security or reconstruction? You have one without the other. My point, and I think a lot of people who have been doing this for much longer than the United States military has been doing it, is as soon as you become identified as interventionary, as part of a colonial past, you become targets, as opposed to collaborators, friends, assistants. In the United States, which has a history of isolationism before World War II, I mean, traditionally the United States, if it ever fought a foreign war, would disband its military. You, in part of our Constitution, indeed part of the original foreign policy pronouncements by our presidents, was don't get entangled in European affairs. That all changed after the Second World War. And the U.S. is right now trying to figure out how it can simultaneously fight a war of counterterrorism, and not get bogged down in wars. You're going to see a major change in U.S. foreign policy and defense policy coming out from what's going to be declared peace with honor like Vietnam was, which is going to be basically a very, I think, hasty withdrawal that's going to leave a lot of people in very dire conditions in Iraq and Afghanistan, where the status quo ante will not be recovered, meaning the condition before the military went in, before the U.S. went in, in terms of metrics like electricity, per day, healthcare, infant mortality, they still haven't gotten up to the pre-war standards. You got rid of a dictator, but at a very high cost.
Proti koncu je razprava postajala že žaljiva in pravzaprav je Slovencem po eni strani najbrž tudi godila. Če namreč Američan omeni upravičenost lastnega posredovanja na Balkanu, se slovenski živelj zaradi svoje oddaljenosti od Balkana, Slovenija namreč, sploh ni Balkan, temveč Srednja Evropa, ob tem ne bo vznemeril in bo prav tako, kot se je zgodilo to na izmenjavi mnen v dvorani Kinodvora v torek, 26. oktobra, takim izjavam na koncu celo huronsko zaploskal. Ostalim, ki smo, ali pa rajši so, ploskali zgolj v sarkazmu, ali pa sploh ne, pa ostane vprašanje, zakaj.
Okay, we've been reading here in Students Magazine, and what can you say about that? Concept of the American nation being a redeemer, a world redeemer, chosen by God to spread democracy to all the peoples. Are you familiar with that idea, and who started this idea in America? And how strong the motive could this be to American interventions and so-called peace missions in Iraq and Afghanistan?
Again, it's a bit of a stereotype. America has done great things in the world. We helped liberate, Europe from Nazism. We did some good things. We've not been so great at it in the years of George Bush. Some people are grateful that Clinton finally got around to helping out in the Balkans.
Polna dvorana gledalcev na čelu z našo kulturno ministrico si je lahko suma sumarum ogledala neutralno poučen dokumentarec o problematiki vključevanja akademije v vojaške operacije, ki je na trenutke s svojim sarkastičnim prikazovanjem floskul ameriških politikov in lucidnimi izjavami mislečih antropologov vsekakor zasadila ost kritike v napačnost vojne. Obenem pa je eden izmed ustvarjalcev filma, James Derderian, ob njem sta ga delala še David Udris in Michael Udris, s svojimi povsem proameriškimi izjavami film vrednostno povlekel povsem na dno kriterija relevantnosti, kjer dokumentarec in še posebej njegov ustvarjalec vsekakor ne bi smela biti. Postavlja se torej vprašanje širših vojaških in političnih struktur in vpetosti akademikov v njihovo delovanje. Vprašanje torej ni, ali naj v vojno za nafto in različne geostrateške pozicije pošljemo akademike ali ne, temveč je vprašanje preprostejše, za vojno ali proti njej, saj v vojni pomeni vsakršno zauzemanje pozicij, že aktivno sodelovanje v njej. Zdaj pa še novičke. Prva je v vsakem pogledu slaba. Letošnji že sedmi zapored festival Dokma je odpovedan. Zaradi nejasnega financiranja je festivalski odbor Dokme sprejel odločitev o odpovedi dokumentarcev v Mariboru, to je Dokme 2010. Za razlog svojega dejanja navajajo nejasno financiranje strani Filmskega sklada Republike Slovenije. Festival namreč do začetka oktobra ni dobil zagotovil o ustrezni finančni podpori, saj zaradi takšnega, to je neurejenega, podeljevanja javnih sredstev ne more prevzemati tveganja z nadaljevanjem organizacije in izvedbe festivala v takšnih razmerah. Uradni odgovor Filmskega sklada Republike Slovenije z dne 29. oktobra v časopisu Dnevnik pa krivdo prelaga na organizatorje same, se naj bi zamudili s prijavljanjem dokumentacije za sam festival. Kot že tolikokrat je bila tudi tokrat strani financerjev sporna zgolj formalna zadeva, natančneje za en dan prekoračen datum oddaje dokumentov. Kaj se bo z neodvisnim festivalom dokumentarnega filma v Mariboru dogajalo v naslednjih letih, pa bomo seveda tudi mi budno spremljali. Želimo pa si lahko le konstruktivnih dejanj uradnih služb, da do takih spodrsljajev sicer velikega formata ne bi več prihajalo. Že v naslednji temni zvezdi pa bomo letošnji zaplet podrobneje predstavili. Če se spustimo malo bolj proti Ljubljani, pridemo do Domžal, kjer organizatorji tudi letos vabijo na drugi festival neodvisnega filma. Ta se bo, prav tako kot lani, imel dogoditi 10. in 11. decembra, le da bo tokrat potekal v Trzinu. Prijave filmov so odprte še do 15. novembra, sprejemajo pa vse filme brez omejitev glede na dolžino in žanr. Več si lahko preberete na njihovi spletni strani www.fnf.si. In ko se iz Domžal spustimo do prestolnice, nas čaka vsakoletna poslastica ljubiteljev filma. To je seveda tokrat že 21. Ljubljanski mednarodni filmski festival oziroma LIF, ki bo potekal od 10. do 21. tega meseca. Karte se da že kupiti. Letošnje posebnosti glede na prejšnja leta pa so naslednje. Programska kategorija Fokus se tako letos osredotoča na berlinsko šolo oziroma novi nemški film, v retrospektivah pa imamo tokrat moč videti simfonije Velemest, tam namreč, kjer mesta igrajo še posebej vidno vlogo. V posvečenem bomo lahko spremljali filme palestinca Elije Sulejmana in filipinca Brilanta Mendoze. Novost letošnjega leta pa je Kino Integral, ki ponuja pregled kratkega eksperimentalnega filma. O LIF-u bomo na Radio Študent seveda še podrobneje poročali. Za vas, drage poslušalke in dragi poslušalci, pa ostane zgolj prijetno vabilo. V tokratni temni zvezdi na frekvenci 89,3 MHz je vam, tehniku Primožu in moji malenkosti na harmoniji igrala Jelena. Za nami pa prihaja Out of Control Rock and Roll. Lepo pozdravljenje.